Hey everyone, welcome to Prosbox on the Talk North Podcast Network. We'd like to first thank our sponsors, United Heroes League and First Minnetonka City Bank. They're your locally owned community bank. We're your hosts, Luke and Nate Prosser, and today we bring you a gentleman who won gold in the World Juniors with Team Canada in 2008. He was a first-round draft pick, 16th overall in the 2007 draft by the Minnesota Wild. He played online with Derek Bougard. He's the nephew of Captain Clark Gillies, who won the Stanley Cup four times in a row with the New York Islanders. That's pretty good. Colton played in the NHL with the Wild, Columbus Blue Jackets, and then with the Buffalo Sabres and New York Islanders organizations. He went on to play overseas in Slovakia and Russia and is now a certified firefighter. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome Colt the Bolt, Colton Gillies.
You obviously go to the combine. Did you rip that up or what?
Oh, I think I did well. I think I read an article somewhere saying I did well or something back in the day. And like, yeah, I think I talked to like 24 teams. Cause like,
wow. I didn't end up
going 16th overall. And like, there was always like a fluctuation, you know, of players and whatnot. And you're like, so yeah, it was a busy time at the combine. And yeah, it was just, I remember how nerve wracking it was. Cause like, it's like this big room and you have like, there's a circle in the middle of all these scouts with like clipboards and stuff. And like the first thing you do is like take your shirt off and they do like the caliper, like fat test on you, like in front of you. Like, you know, let everything out there. And then you're just like,
you kind of suck in a little bit.
I was like this, like kind of like skinny, scrawny, I'm not scrawny, but like skinny and like could move. Right. And, yeah, so like, you know, you do like the bench press and like, yeah, whatever. And you're doing,
would you stay in the circle and do all that stuff?
Well, all these guys are in the circle and then you're on the outside and you're like, all these stations are placed like around that circle. And right. So it was like bench press and there was the wind gate. It's like 45 seconds or 30 seconds as hard as you can. And they like, based on like your weight is like the amount of weight resistance that goes onto it. And like the guy in front of me like threw up and I was just like, you're just like, oh man, like this is gonna suck, you know.
Smells bad.
Grind it out. And just like, yeah, and I super nervous. You know, you walk into these, because it's at a hotel, so like you have like a whole schedule of what teams and what time you're meeting this team and what room they're in. And like you walk into this room and it'll be like six adults sitting in chairs, just like ready to pepper you with questions. To try,
yeah,
get to know who you are, right? So,
yeah,
that was super, super nerve wracking. And then,
were there any teams that asked you any? Because we've heard of people ask, like saying that sometimes they're like psychology test questions, like any like weird like
one that I remember for some, like I remember like vividly. Can't remember who said it, but it was they said. It was something to do with like your teammate coming home drunk or something, or like came home like drunk night before game. Like, what do you do? Or like your roommate or something, like, what do you do or something? And I'm pretty sure my response was just like, see if they're okay. Like maybe they're going through something in their life and they just need someone to talk to. And like, yeah, and I think that was my response. Cause like, I don't know. That was just like, you want to give guys the benefit of the doubt, and especially like being professionals, you know, like your teammate, you trust your teammate to, you know, be responsible. We're all adults. Drew Bagnell used to say, if you can be a man at night, you can be a man in the morning.
Oh man.
Well, that's better than my answer. Mine would be like, just stick your fingers down your throat, toughen up, go to bed. You're all right.
Drew Bagnell, what a good name to bring up there. So great.
Have you had him on this podcast yet?
Not yet. No. We should though. I mean that's where we're going next. The Houston Arrows. I mean, your last season with Saskatoon, you finished the season with Houston. You know, you play what, like a handful of games, and then you play in the playoffs, and then that's kind of where you start your your pro career. Yeah. And I mean, you're 19 years old or 18?
18, yeah. And I remember
crazy.
I signed the contract. It was like a couple of weeks after Saskatoon was done. And then I signed a contract with Minnesota. And then they were like, all right, like we want you to go down to Houston just to get like, you know, a taste of like pro life. Like you're not going to play any games. You're just going to go down there, kind of like practice, whatever. I'm pretty sure like they had like a line brawl the game before I got down there. And like a bunch of guys got suspended. And they're like, well, you're playing.
We don't have any bodies. We need you.
Yeah. So I ended up playing. And I played a lot of minutes and I played well. And then they're just like left me in the lineup. And like, so yeah. And I ended up playing, like I was playing, like they put me on the power play a little bit and like here and there. But like, I think I was, when I was down there, even in playoffs, I was like a point per game down there.
Wow.
And then
who's the coach at the time?
Kevin Constantine.
Come.
Yeah. And he was like, it was just like such a different, it was so different than Saskatoon. Like you had to like block shots and stuff, you know, like go up. Like if you didn't block the shot, you're not playing, you know, like, you know, like we didn't do that. Like at that time, you know, when you're in Saskatoon, like in the WHL, like now guys do that. Like it was just a part of the game now. But back then kind of wasn't, it was only in pro, like no one really knew the value of it. But
yeah,
I remember he would, we have like an hour video before practice. So you have to go to the rink like 2 hours before practice. So you can do an hour of video of the game before. And then you get like an hour before you have to like, and he had this whole room set up with like chairs, like it was a TV room. And it was just like, just so much video. It was insane. And that was like my first kind of taste of like the pro life kind of
pro hockey. Pro.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think that's the first
crazy that
Matt Cassian down there. I think he was down there at that time too. And we were kind of living out of a La Quinta hotel.
Oh, yeah. He's been on the pod.
Yeah. I listened to his podcast today because I was driving up to Kelowna to see my fiance's father-in-law. He's having two surgeries today because of his fall. So I was like, I got to see what I'm getting myself into. Cause like people have asked me to do podcasts before. And I was like, I'm okay.
Come on, dude. This is awesome, man. Some good stuff. Yeah.
Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
No. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, dude, then a couple years later, we meet up and we have our season in Houston. Like, dude, honestly, I tell everyone my favorite year of hockey might have been that year.
Yeah.
I just the guys in that locker room, the culture we had, the wins, that all kind of boiled it together. And then playing in Houston, I mean, frick, we were going to shorts and flip flops, going to the rink in shorts and flip flops, and eating out on patios and laying out by the pool and doing it. Like, what a life.
It is hard, guys. Don't, whoever's listening, it is hard. It's hard to get. Cause like the year, cause after that first year in, cause I played my first year in Minnesota, I played like
fourth
line in an era of like guys that were just there to murder, you know?
Yeah.
Like, 19-year-old like kid, guys are like drooling at me across the face off. Like I'm like, holy smokes, I better fly.
The licking their chops. That's right, because that was, you had half a season up in Minnesota before.
I was there the entire year, but I only played half the games because they were just kind of like easing me into it a little bit. Or
who are your line mates?
Oh man, Bugard. Man, centerman, long hair. Chris
Veyu
Veyu, he was a more on third, a little bit third line, maybe fourth line sometimes. Chris, is it Kluhonik or something like that?
Oh gosh. You and the boogeyman on a line. That's right. That was the heyday of tough guy hockey.
I was like a 19-year-old kid that was like super quiet, shy, and like a shy, quiet kid in a locker room. Oh my God, those guys ate me alive. you had like Andrew Brunette there. He just called it. Oh man, he would definitely like, again, like just to get me out of my comfort zone and like, but like he would be all over me. Just, yeah, it was fun. Like it was good. Like I had Marion Gabrick on the right side of me, and then I had Owen Nolan on the left side of me in the locker room. I'm just like sitting there as these two legends. I'm just like quietly just like,
look. As a 19-year-old, yeah, you're like, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah, I'm just here. Kid, this is
like,
okay. Cool.
Looking at you all the time and not saying anything, you know, like weird.
He's like with a smirk on his face.
Yeah. And then,
so did you, that season, did you gamble at all on the road when you,
no,
when you guys would go, or would you play with any of those guys?
No, okay. No. Again, like I was like super straight, narrow, like never really drank. I was billeting with the family out in Woodbury. And like, again, I was 19 in the States. So yeah, it was pretty rare to, I feel like, get me out and stuff. Like I was just like, just trying to be like, you know.
You lived with the family in Woodbury that whole season? Yeah. Making NHL money?
Yeah.
Well, why?
That's just kind of the way they kind of wanted me to do it.
Sure.
They just like, it was like their plan. They're like, here's a family you're going to stay with. I was like living in their basement.
Okay, so the Wild set that up for you. They were like,
yeah. Wild set me up for that. And then
it's not like you put out a Craigslist ad or something like wanted.
And then I finished playing that year, but then that summer, that's when they had the GM change, coaching change. And yeah, I ended up going to camp the next year.
Was that Jacques Lemaire
to Todd Richards?
Todd Richards. Yeah.
And,
that's right.
And then they had Chuck Fletcher come in. And then, I went into that camp so confident and like in my mind, I thought I played really well. And like, you know, I ended up, I think it was like the last guy cut, and like, I'd already had a place. I think where was it called in like Uptown? I was like renting off this other guy, this hockey guy that had a place there. And I was like last guy to get cut, and I did not see it coming. Turned my world upside down. And like, yeah, just like, I feel like just like the way it happened and maybe the way they did it, or just like in my mind, but I was like, I didn't talk to like my family for like 3 months. Probably. I just like felt like I let everyone down, like a first round draft pick, played in the NHL already. Like this was like my year to like, you know, truly like, you know, make an impact. And like,
fresh set of eyeballs looking at
and like they obviously had like a different plan for me. And I definitely took it probably not the right way or the healthy way that you're supposed to. And if it wasn't like,
well, I mean, you're 19 or 20, I mean, you're still young, man.
Yeah.
Like you're still, you know,
but like
a kid
round draft pick and like a lot of expectations on myself and like kind of, I don't know, it's like, I just feel like I had the whole world on me a little bit. And but like that's when I got to meet like some amazing humans in the minors, like Matt Cassian. That guy was phenomenal to me. Like he was awesome. And like I know I listened to his podcast this morning, but he's like one of the best human beings you'll ever meet. And you can ask anybody that on any team he's ever played for, they'll be like, that guy is an amazing man. But and then I was down there in Houston. I think my second game, I shattered my nose, and like it was just like a rough like week, you know. My nose, because like it was just like a pan, like it was just so bad. And like I just like went to hit a guy center ice, just like his helmet or his forehead just hit me right square in the nose. And
oh my gosh.
Oh, dude.
But then, I played that year. And then what do we have? We got Mike Yeo came in, and we all know about Mike Yeo. He's like, he very, again, like analytical, like just like all about team building. And like, that was, again, like you already said, my favorite year of hockey. And you can probably go around to each one of those guys in that, like, that played that year, and they would say the exact same thing. Like, it was such a special team, and we were so close. Like, yeah, like, we'd all be together all the time, like, just away from the rink, we're together hanging out, you know, barbecuing and just
it was basically like a frat house with guys that had some more money, that had more money. Like, you know, a frat house, like, you're college, you're broke, like, you can't really spend a whole lot of money. Like, you're just, you know, going from school.
You're buying Happy Meals.
Yeah, Happy Meals, Domino's. Like, here it was like, okay, we got our signing bonus. You know, we're all, you know, getting paid a little bit of money down the jungle.
Some nice fillets.
Yeah, we're stopping at Whole Foods and picking up barbecue stuff, and we're all grilling around, drinking some beers or whatnot. Like, it, I don't know, just great time. Maybe that's why we had so much success. Is
you guys actually liked each other?
Yeah, exactly.
We did, and like, yeah, like, that was like, and then going from there to the NHL, you're like, everyone has like families, and there's like, they go from the rink to their families, you know, never really see them unless like you're on the road kind of thing. Right. Where was I going with that before though? Like down in Houston, it was awesome.
Ooh, Mike, did you
live with somebody?
Oh yeah. That's what I was going to go. I was in Chad Rao. You should.
Oh,
Chad Rao on this thing yet?
Not yet. No, we will.
He played in Russia too. He's got probably better stories than I do. He was in.
What was it like? What and we could probably edit this back, but I'm curious. What was it like playing for Jacques Lemaire or a coach like him? Right. I mean, do you just like shut your mouth, especially being an 18-year-old kid? I imagine, like, do you just absorb everything that guy says? Or?
I was hoping not to get into this, but he was like super, I don't know, just like such, he just had like such a presence about him, right? And he was super nice, like super nice. Everyone like talked about like, oh, how defensive he was, but like he let like the top guys kind of do whatever they wanted, like Gavrik and everyone. And but like I was always so nervous in pregame skate for some reason. Like I was always like guys knew I was nervous. Like, and I had a hard time catching passes, I won't lie. And guys, it got around a lot. Like, honestly, there was one practice where guys, they're all probably were like, okay, today we are going to take slap shots at Gilly's stick in pregame and watch the puck explode, you know? And Jacques Lemaire stopped practice, brought everybody in, and he's like, Gilly, he's like, are you going to wake up, Tabernak? And he's like, catch up, effing pass, you know? And like, I was like, yes, sir. Like, and then I'm going to bring everybody in to the circle to tell me to catch your fucking pass. And then like, and like, I was like, okay. You know, I was like,
I'm sure those rocket passes didn't stop. Like Mikko is the king of that. Oh, man. God. Like,
and like, honestly, like I was always first guy on, last guy to leave every day, made sure of that. And like, even like for, they even had me like going out and like one of the coaches would take slap shots at my stick and I had to like catch the pass, like hard at me. Like they were nice about it.
That's great. Great.
And then, yeah, after that year, in Houston, Mike Yeo went up and, you know, I was like his boy, you know, like he, you know,
yeah,
a lot of situations and
he liked your game. Yeah. I think his game might have resembled your, like, I don't know the way he really played. I think he was a hard nosed type of two way player. Yeah. So I'm sure he really enjoyed, you know, your game. So he liked, you know, you and Petey and Orts and, you know, those kind of guys that, you know, play the game the right way and hard and go to the hard areas and bang in rebounds and tips and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you look at Mike Yeo's hockey DB profile picture, you could come to the conclusion that he was, that he really liked your game.
Yeah.
The goatee and like a little kind of like faux hawk or something, right?
Is the cowlick thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I ended up signing a 2-year one way after that. And went up, and again, like I was kind of stuck on fourth line again. Another tough, it's a tough role to play, honestly. Like fourth line guys, like it's so hard to get your feet going. And
well, and I'd imagine too, by the way, because like, and we've talked to others about this, but you had so much success in your hockey playing career thus far, right? You were the guy, you were the captain of, and then to get to the best league in the world and have to learn how to play a different type of role than what you're used to, or playing the minutes
that, yeah,
you're so not like, accustomed to.
Yeah, like I imagine that'd be a tough
even like in Houston, like at the beginning, Mike Gill, he always like sat down with players like periodically throughout the year to like, you know, just talk to them, see how they're doing. And like, you know, like that's like the one thing that I really respected Mike Gill about. He like cared so much about every single one of his players, you know? And he like right from that, he's like, you want to make the NHL, this is how you gotta play. He's like, I need you to do this, this, this. You can do this, you will be in the NHL. And I was like, yes, sir. Like, I will do whatever I have to, you know? And that-
what's crazy is I had a similar conversation with him. Like, I mean, like you said, he sat down with each and every guy and had those type of conversations. And how good do you feel about yourself and as a player to be like, okay, if I do these things the right way and I play the right way for my coach, he's going to have my back when I need it.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, he definitely, it's actually, yeah, it was such a cool way because I never had like that type of coaching before. And he just like came in and just changed the game. And like guys, he got the guys to want to work for him, you know? Even when we made playoffs, I remember him being like, guys, like if you want to be champions, we have to do this. And like he begged the wheels off us, you know? And like,
yeah,
you were like, dude, I want to be a champion, I have to do this, you know? He's like he doesn't well, this to us, but he have to, and, you know?
Yeah. And I think he begged us in, didn't we sweep the first round of playoffs and then we got bagged and we're all looking at each other like, man, we should have just went to 7 games, you know, like why, like it doesn't make sense for us to get bagged. But he always had a plan and like kind of knew, you know, what it took, yeah, you know?
Yeah. And then, yeah. But like, so like he was already trying to like, already like turn me into like that role, like good shutdown guy, PK, like hard to play against, mm-hmm, you know? And like, yeah, but like, yeah, I remember that year, how many call-ups did they have that year? Like everyone, like there was a lot of injuries in Minnesota and like, I was like, sweet, I get to move up a line. It's like they'd call up someone, put them on third line, and I'd be like, oh man, you know, like, and like it was just like constant changeover of like guys getting called up. And like I knew he like wanted to like give his kind of like say thank you almost, be like give guys the opportunity that were on the team last year, you know, because that's the type of guy he was. Because like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it was a tough year because I just felt like I was working so hard and like just never again got the opportunity. It's hard for, like it happens to everybody really. Like there's working that hard, you know your value, but like you just don't get that opportunity. Even when, I'll always remember the day they were going to send me down to the minors and they put me on waivers. We were in St. Louis and I was like, it was with the guys in the lobby. We're about to walk over to the rink. Chuck Fletcher comes down and he's like, hey, we want to send you down to the minors to get some more ice time. But you got to clear waivers. And I was just like, what? Like, again, it just like caught me off guard. Maybe I was that oblivious, but like, I swear to God, the game before that, he told me it was the best game he's ever seen me play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Mike Yeo, after that practice, like again, like I was in a rough spot. I was like, man, like what's happening right now? You know, like Mike Yeo like called me to his room and like he like looked at me and he just like started tearing up. And he's just like, he said, I let you down. He's like, this is my fault. He's like, this is all my fault. He's like, this is, yeah, on me. And like, he's like, you deserve better than what I gave you. And yeah, I was just like, shit. I'll run through a wall anytime that guy, he can call me up right now. I'll run through a wall for that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, cares.
Dude, what's crazy is I'm the same way. Like, yeah. I would run through a wall for that guy right now. Like, that, like, how cool is that? Like,
yeah.
You know, he built us all up to, you know, play as a team and play the right way. And we knew he had our backs. Like,
yeah.
He always told me, Nate, you know, when I get to the NHL, you're coming with me type of deal. And he held true to his word. He was an honest guy. Yeah. Like, and that was hard to come by in pro hockey. Mm. You know, like you said, even with, you know, with a lot of GMs and coaches, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, yeah. and want to, you sure. know, to build you up and to have you keep playing and performing the right way. But, you know, there's not a ton of honesty behind it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, it was, yeah, he just cares about his players, and it was just awesome. And I don't think a lot of coaches really, really do that.
Yeah.
Which it was good to see him get a lot of opportunity too in the NHL. And yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
That guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
First Minnetonka City Bank. We're your locally owned community bank. Phone calls are answered by real people instead of a never-ending voicemail system. Dedicated financial representatives who really care about your personal, business, mortgage, and investment objectives. First Minnetonka City Bank is an independent community bank that offers the same wealth of products and services as larger banks, yet provides the highest quality customer service that other banks forget. We take the time to develop one-on-one relationships with our customers. The same banker will work with you year after year, providing the long-term understanding necessary to tailor our services to your changing needs. First Minnetonka City Bank. Stop by or call one of our convenient locations to experience the First Minnetonka difference for yourself. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Did you know there are over 5 million children of military families here in the United States? Unlike their parents, these kids never signed up to serve, but they do. The mission of the United Heroes League is to help families heal, build friendships, and engagement in their communities through sports. They do this by providing access to a wide range of sports activities. Through United Heroes League, these kids get to play on sports teams, get equipment, and go to camps and training clinics, all at no cost to the military family. They even get to meet and spend time with professional athletes. That's why more than 100 pro athletes and 39 sports teams have signed on to help. Be a hero by helping a hero. For more information about United Heroes League or how you can help support their cause, you can visit their website at www.giveuhl.org.
Also, the 2023 Justin Morneau Ice Fishing Classic is coming up. There will be an autograph signing this Saturday that includes Justin Morneau, Scott Studwell, Jordan Leopold, Jeff Tafe, and former North Star Steve Payne and Chris Dahlquist, and a host of other celebs. Tickets are only $20 online at giveuhl.org. And that ticket is also your door prize entry for over $100,000 in prizes that you do not need to be present to win. We'll see you guys out there.
A lot of what the prospects are talking about, like the transition from hockey. Yeah.
How are you on time, by the way?
I'm good. Yeah. Okay. I'm on holidays. That's why I got a little bit of a beard right now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, well, how was the transition for you? I know you retired, 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it was longer than that now, man. I think it
was it?
Now. When did COVID start? Like at the beginning of COVID, pretty much, right?
2020.
Oh, right. Okay. 3 years ago.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. How was the, you know, take, you know, like, you know, your identity's always kind of been as a hockey player, and then all of a sudden it's over, you know, like, I don't know what age were you at when you retired?
Yeah.
30. Okay. Right. Okay. Then, you know, how was the next, you know, year, couple years for you?
Yeah. The first year I feel like is always tough. And I always like, even like try and like when guys like retire to see where they are in their first year. Cause like it's hard for everybody. Cause like your entire life, your whole purpose is hockey. And just trying to find that new purpose. And like was it 2 years before that I ended up hurting my shoulder and had to get like shoulder surgery in Russia.
The doctor let you get surgery, huh?
I'll make this quick because I know you.
No, don't make it quick. explain it. Yeah.
Second game of the season. It's like 30 seconds left in the game. We're down by one. We pull the goalie. I jump on the ice. They dump it into my corner. I go grab. I get first on the puck, and then pass it over to a teammate, like on the other side of the net, get hit. I'm like, my shoulder is really messed up. I'm like, it's staying, like it hurts a lot. I finished like playing with like one hand. It was like a couple of seconds.
You finished the game. And,
so they sent me back to see the doctor. And this doctor is the most unhealthy human being you've ever met. Like this. he smokes probably a cigarettes a day, like a fish. And like, and he's, anyway, he looks at my shoulder and he's like, okay, it's like 50-50 chance your ligaments going, like I had like a CAT scan. It's like 50-50 chance that your ligaments gonna like reattach itself. So it's like four, we'll give you 4 weeks basically to get back. And I'm like, okay. So I don't do anything for like 2 weeks. They did some PRP. They like inject like the your platelets back in to try and like promote more healing.
And who knows really what they're injecting there, right?
Yeah.
who knows? I was just like,
this is vodka. Like,
that was the year that the NHL guys weren't going to the Olympics too, and I had like
some Svedka getting injected into you.
Yeah. Our team lost every single freaking game after that. Like we won our like first game of the year, and like that's like it was like a huge deal. I was like, oh, we're gonna win everything this year. Right? Like, they lost like every game. They were like 10 game like losing streak or something. Like it was bad. And like for coaches, like they get fired every year. There's just so much turnover rate.
which is like not good for like players or like developing any sort team culture and anything like that. Yeah. It's just new regime.
Yeah. So they like basically get to a point like my shoulder, like I was starting to practice and like I get hit in practice and it'd like hurt, but it'd be like a sting and it would go away. And like, and I was like,
that was a Svedka.
it would hurt a lot, but like it would go away and then it'd be fine again. And like my strength was getting better and stuff, but the doctor basically said like, you have to play now. Like the GM/coach wants you to play. And I was like, listen, I was like told him, like, listen, like if it's like a pain thing, like I can deal with that. But like, if this is going to like if I like can hurt something more, like I need to be sure that I'm like, I'm okay. And he's like, oh, you're okay. It's just pain. And like first game played like a ton of minutes. And like just tried to hide, like try not to get hit by anyone, you know, like because like, you know, I'm still.
And that's not your game. Yeah, like
it's not my game. And second game on the road, basically racing for a puck. D-man rubs me out. I hear a crack. My shoulder is like now I for sure have to get surgery. Like it didn't even hurt as much as the first time. But like that was just like my other ligament tearing off.
Oh my gosh.
I ended up having to get surgery and yeah, that's the shoulder. So like it was like a 6 to 8 month rehab.
Oh.
Team was
Did they agree with you getting the surgery? Or did you kind of have to battle that a little bit that second?
On the operating table like 2 days later.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. And like again, like a guy like a surgeon that not a word of English, he said basically said like they had to do more than they thought they had to do. Like my shoulder was in pretty bad shape and everything's good now and stuff. But again, it's just another example of this doctor. Like he tried to send me on a road trip with like a torn MCL. Like couldn't even like, yeah, there, this guy was like the worst doctor ever. I swear. And the only reason he was there is because like he was friends with like one of the owners of the team.
For sure.
Reminds me of like Dr. Nick from The Simpsons, who's just like has no like he's kind of there.
Yeah.
You have this like for like lower if guys had like lower back pain, they'd have that machine that like they strap them in and they just like the machine would like stretch them, you know.
Yeah.
Like this old cool like
the medieval torture table device type of deal.
It's like head brace thing on. And then there's like a pulley. It goes up to a pulley with a
on the end of it.
Oh my God.
Just like stretch out your neck. Like it was.
Oh man.
It was so bad. Yeah.
Crazy. So
that they even tried to get me, there was two games left in the season and they tried to get me to play the last two games of the season. It was like literally the exact six months from like my injury. And it's like a 6 to 8 months. There's no way they're making playoffs. And they're like, the coach, their GM's like trying to make me play the last two games. And I was like,
oh my, like, why?
I was like, I already put myself on the line for you guys once. Like, I'm not doing it again. Like, yeah. Yeah.
So you didn't play.
So I didn't play. But that led me to thinking about, like, what am I going to do after hockey? And I ended up going to Toronto through the PHPA. Program where I did my firefighting level 1 and 2 and like hazmat.
Why firefighting? How'd you know?
Oh man, there was in grade 3, there was a teacher that was really close with, and I had to do write a paragraph of like what I wanted to be when I grew up. And it was obviously an NHL hockey player, blah, blah, blah. And she made me redo it and pick a different profession. And
good for her.
We're firefighters. And I looked up to them and they're big role models for me. And so I was like, I want to be a firefighter. So it was always kind of in the back of my mind. My neighbor on the coast in Vancouver was a firefighter who I was really close with and loved his job and allowed him to be around his kids, right? And be involved and help out the community in that way, like be a coach. He was coaching lots and again, one of my passions too. So it made sense.
Does it have a kind of locker room feel to it? I mean, there's some downtime. There's, you know, you guys hang together, work out together. You know, I don't know if you play cards together.
You're some pretty games tough together. Stuff together.
Yeah. Is it kind of like a brotherhood like that?
Oh yeah. And like, that was where I was going to go next was like, and it's like a lot of like-minded people, you know, like a lot of really good human beings. And it's really hard to get onto. I don't know if it is in the States or not, but like in Canada, like everybody wants to be a freaking firefighter here. So like,
wow,
you got people that have, you know, done, you know, they got their masters and, you know, they've done all these courses. And so like when you first get out of hockey and you try to pursue that avenue, like everyone's resume looks amazing, you know, because they weren't playing professional hockey for the last 12 years. And
yeah,
so that was definitely a struggle trying to get on. And through luck and my fiance's mother, who was a teacher in Penticton here, like I was applying to places where I lived in Vancouver, and a lot of places require like either a trade, so like a red seal or something like that, or a degree, which I didn't have any of those. I'm like, I'm going to go to school for 4 years to get a degree here. And like, you know, cause like right from 18, 19, I was like pursuing my dream, you know, which unfortunately for HR wasn't like, it's not like it doesn't tick a box for them. So I ended up
but there's so many studies, by the way. I'm just athletic humans and athletic traits will outperform like skill and experience over a certain amount of time. It's like exponentially, like having an athletic sort of trait, right? Wanting to win, wanting drive, all the things that we already talked about.
Accountability and leadership.
Dealing with adversity, man. Like, I don't know any other, like, you know, like other sports, obviously, but like that prepares you for life, you know, like team sports, like losing, you know, like how to put work in to like get better and, you know, and sacrifice and, you know, like understanding like the big picture.
Yeah. So, being a piece of meat, getting sent up and down and back and forth. And,
like here, go up here and block shaver Weber's slap shot one timer. Like, break a bone, but you're like, God, hope it misses me.
Yeah. That's what you have to do to stay. So how many fires have you fought?
So I've been on in this year. So we, this Penticton, it's in the middle between two big lakes. And it's one of like the very few places that's actually in the middle of two lakes. And we have two fire halls. We have roughly, we're getting up to 40 members of suppression. What that means is like, we have, like, even though I'm off shift, like I'm on holidays right now, like if there's a big fire, they'll tone everybody out and be like, hey, if you can come here and help, you know? I've only been on for one, like I'm arriving on scene with my crew and like hitting the fire and like, you know, like we're everything.
I mean, how intense is that though?
Intense. And like you're going and like, you know, this was at nighttime. So you can like, and we're surrounded by mountains. So you look up and you're like, yep, there is a huge fire over there. And then you're like, you're all strapped in, ready to go. And you're just like, okay, you're just like waiting for the coach, your captain, to be like, this is your job, you know? And you're like, got it. And you're just like, accomplish that, you know? And
Does that kind of fill your competitive juices cup a little bit, as you know, replacing hockey in some ways?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like fires are rare calls, but we live in an area where there's lots of wildfires. We respond to a lot of overdoses and cardiac arrests and stuff like that. And I think my favorite is actually going after wildfires. Cause like we're not like getting like helicoptered in or whatever, but like we have the ability to, if it's in, we don't like go outside of our city area kind of like, but like, it's something that like you hit it, you gotta go so fast. So like you pull up and we have like, again, like when it comes in, we have different gear that we wear for this. So like we have a backpack. So you like, you open your backpack, you take all your gear out at the hall, put it on really quick. You're ripping up there. And then like, you're just like, you pick up as much hose as you can and just start like running basically and like rubbing the hose. And like, you're like, it's like, it's like a Russian training camp all over again, you know?
So, oh my gosh. So dude, super naive question here, but like, because I imagine wildfires must be exhilarating to be like on the front lines for sure, just because of how fast and wild that they can move, right?
Yeah.
Wind changes direction and all that. How can, and now again, this is my like, naive question here, but I'm very interested. Are the suits you wear, I mean, will they protect you or like for so long, but you can't really just stand?
Wildfire is very different than structural firefighting. Like you're basically just trying to get, you're going on the outside. And like for us, like, our response is all about like being fast. Cause like, it's not like it's like in the middle of nowhere and you need to like helicopter guys in. By the time you get there, things huge and you're just trying to like, you know, guide the fire. Like you're not really, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot. Where like for us, because we only work in our city and like, we like, if it gets called in and like the one that I was on this last summer, like I was in the middle of driver training this truck and like, this thing got called in and I'm like, oh shit, we're really close to that. So my captain jumps in, drives us there. And like, we have helicopters on it right away. My other crew pulls up and like, we just start hiking up this mountain on the side of the fire with like pumping water. And like, again, like the incline was probably like 60% and you're just like, you got so much hose on and you're like, just, it's like 30, I guess, I don't know what it'd be in Fahrenheit, but Celsius, be almost like it's like 35, 40 degrees out and you're just sweating buckets and you're, And it's just like such a fast pace thing that I don't know. It's just, that's awesome. And obviously structure firefighting is good too, but.
Are you wearing Lululemon underneath all your gear too?
We have like,
come on, the fiance is supposed to hook you up.
Right. Well, I might come after you for that discount code. That's sick. Yeah.
Well, they took the special discount code away during COVID. Where you?
Get out of here!
Did you ruin that?
But now, once a year, I basically wait for Christmas once a year because they have a special deal for employees.
Nice. Okay, last question about firefighting. Do you guys do a calendar?
We do not do a calendar. No.
Some people do it, or like to like raise funds and stuff, right?
That's like a.
calendar for like, I think the province. So like you can apply to be in the calendar and you basically need like votes to win and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Do
yeah.
a photo shoot and whatever.
You need to bring a photographer when you're like running with all the hose wrapped around.
It definitely is not like something that I'm actively pursuing.
Yeah. Well, you loved having your shirt off in the locker room. Don't act like so.
Yeah. But, and like, yeah, I just like, I feel very blessed. I'm able to be here. Cause like even the department that I'm on, a, like the people that are here are phenomenal. Like my crew, I couldn't ask for a better crew. And like, yeah, it's like a locker room. You deal with adversity, you deal hard times, you deal with good times. But like you're all in it together, and that's like again what hockey's all about too.
Right? Sweet. It's amazing. Sweet, man. Yeah, it sounds like you got a good thing going. That's so good to hear. We'll end with some rapid fire, some questions that just super fast. Worst penalty you've ever taken.
What? Worst penalty probably. Oh god, worst penalty I've ever taken is in the WHL. I was already in like getting, sorry, this is supposed to be rapid fire, but I was already.
That's all right. No, there's gotta be a story. Rapid fire
questions, but long story answer.
I was already in a little bit of trouble in the WHL because I had a few hitting from behind penalties, just like
classic
for checking, being fast guy.
Wasn't your fault. No. Yeah. I get it for sure. Say it louder.
And I was like one of like a better player. And this one guy is agitator on, where was it? I want to say maybe with Red Deer. He like stomped on my laces to start the game, and I had to go get all my laces. He basically like cut, like he stepped on my laces to cut them all. And so I'd like miss a few shifts to like relace my skates. So started the next period.
He did that intentionally. Oh, yeah. Like that. He went and just kind of sliced. Oh, it, yeah. Huh?
So the next period, wow. I tried to do the same thing. I missed his laces and I hit his Achilles and sliced them. And like, yeah, the commissioner was there watching to see like how I was playing and like, oh yeah, I got suspended for that.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That thing just got dark.
Yeah. But it was just like, I just looked like such a dirty player for that. And I just like, yeah, forgot all about that.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was a move. I mean, it's players not like
a move though. People like don't do that. Like this is just like a greasy thing this guy did, and I just like somehow topped it. Yeah.
Yeah. You one upped him.
Yeah. 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 Favorite goal.
Favorite goal. Oh man. You know what? I'd say my first goal in Minnesota was against Calgary.
What happened? Walk through the progression that led up
man,
to
it. It feels like so long ago. So many things have happened. Yeah. I'm sure like Bugard got it in the corner and just like threw it in front, and that was just kind of like a backdoor tap in kind of thing.
Little bang bang. Yeah. Nice.
Or Boogie had eyes in the back of his head in a sick dish back to you.
Yeah.
Favorite game.
Oh man.
Gold medal.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Had to be.
The last thing I've won and probably ever will. So let's do it.
Well, dude, isn't that crazy? I mean,
my coach, right? I can live through the kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Favorite season?
You know which one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be. Always
love it.
Cup run.
Best
lost to Bingo that year, right? You lost to Bingo.
Yeah, lost to Bingo in the finals.
Yeah,
sucks.
Yeah. Favorite line mates.
Yeah.
Oh man, favorite line mates. Yeah, it's got to be World Juniors. I was like with Sutter and Stefan Legion. Those guys were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
That was good.
Last one. Where was your rookie party? NHL rookie party.
My NHL rookie party was in San Jose. And I didn't make it past the dinner.
Oh, no.
Well, you had Bruno on the squad. Yeah, you're right. Like,
yeah, Bruno could drink you under the table for sure, man. Oh. I'm sure he had you going.
Oh, yeah, they were giving me Sambuca and like, oh, yeah.
What was your tab? Do you remember?
No, I don't. I think that made like a rule, like the maximum was like $5,000 or something per rookie. So
normally. What else were you drinking? Were you just having like great wine, shots, everything or what?
Ace. You know, I wasn't like, oh yeah, give me this, give me that, you know, but like, yeah. It was just, yeah, I was a shy guy and like Clutterbuck and like this Eric Reitz, all these guys were just like funny human beings. Like yeah, they're hilarious. And you had to like tell jokes and stuff. And like, I had like the worst joke ever. It was, yeah, it was, and you had to do like impersonations of people. Yeah. I probably came in last for all of them, so that's why I had to drink so much.
You're just, yeah, they kept feeding you some tequila shots, yeah. And yeah, just got dark after dinner.
Dark after dinner.
Yeah. I
like that. Yeah, that's hilarious, man. Yeah, well, great, Bolt. Thanks for coming on the Press Box, man. It's good to hear from you. Good to see you. Thanks for your service in firefighting, man. That's so awesome. For sure.
It's great. You get to finally live out your childhood dream too, right? Huh? And now you have like a whole lifetime to live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys, you know, being so great. And yeah, you definitely got someone, a new person to listen to the podcast for sure.
Sweet, man.
You got one.
Yeah. There's got to be a nice one more.
Yeah.
We don't even know if this is going to make it yet. So
definitely try and get Chad Rao. I think he'd have some good stories in Russia.
Yeah, for sure.
The Gong Show.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. Good seeing you.
Take care.